blessing this morning, hasn't it? And what a blessing. If you win your Bibles this morning, turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Is it working now? All right, Romans 15, verse 13. We preached in these verses before, but look here at verse 13. As I hear paper rustling. It's not a sword drill. I'll give you a little time. The context of the verse in Romans 15 is working together, that Christians should work together, that we should be helping each other, that we should be like-minded working together. And the context is Jew and Gentile working together. I'm thankful there's no longer a a barrier, there's no longer a difference between the Jew and the Gentile. By the way, there's only two classifications in the Bible. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. And I'm thankful that barrier has been broken down. The context, again, is about being like-minded, working together, helping each other. So look at verse 13. So here, then, he talks about them working together, again, being like-minded together, and then Paul prays just a simple prayer. In verse 13, just a simple prayer, it says this: "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." I'd just like to preach this morning a little bit about joy, peace, and hope that's found in the God of hope, found through the power of the Holy Spirit that's been given to every Christian, every true believer has the Holy Ghost, has the Holy Spirit living in you. And through the Holy Spirit, we receive joy, we receive peace, and we receive hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. I pray this morning, Lord, that we would see and be encouraged by this important truth that you do indeed give us joy, lasting joy. Lord, that you give us peace, that peace that passes all understanding. And God, you give us that hope, of that blessed hope. And Lord, we're so looking forward to your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul here prays about prays for the Christian and prays that they might experience joy and they might experience peace, again, because of the God of hope. This joy, this peace is found in the Lord. He is the author of hope, by the way. God is. God is the foundation of hope. God is the builder and the finisher of our hope. He is the originator of our hope. He is hope, the God of hope. Again, notice the words in our verse, the word joy, that you be filled, or you fill you with joy and peace. And again, abounding, or you might abound in hope. Joy and peace and hope are given by God. Hope and joy and peace is not earned. It is given by the Lord. Joy is not happiness, in that happiness is dictated by circumstances. Joy is not. I know you've heard that a lot, and as Christians, we've heard it a lot, but it's true. You can have joy in tribulation. You can have joy in difficult circumstances. You can have peace in tribulation. You can have peace in difficult situations and difficult circumstances. And that is given to us by God. It doesn't happen naturally. Normal people don't experience joy in tribulation. I'm talking about just the human being who's born in this world and experiencing tribulation. Then they go, yes, I'm having problems. You know, that just doesn't come natural, right? I mean, that's not, the natural man doesn't understand that. The old man doesn't get it. Our flesh doesn't get that. But the new man, he gets it. He understands and knows. And I'm thankful when I got saved, I became a new creation, a new creature in Christ. And I became a partaker of the divine nature of God. And I received a new nature. And that in that new nature, I am given that joy, the peace that only God can give. It really makes Christians understand and go through circumstances different than the world does. You hear that? That's why Christians go through detours and problems and storms and all the things that life hurls at us. By the way, it hurls that at us, and it hurls those things at the world as well. We can go through those things with joy and peace because we have hope. The world offers hope. The world offers joy. The world offers peace. But it's fleeting. It's fleeting. It doesn't last. You think again about the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, those things in which the devil tempts us, in which the world tempts us in the flesh. Our three enemies, by the way, are the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? We have three enemies: the world system, the flesh, which is us. Sometimes when you meet the enemy, it's you. You've seen that little cartoon? The guy looks, you know, he's going to meet the enemy, he looks in the mirror, it's me. I met the enemy, it's me. Nobody finds that amusing. I find it really amusing. I met the enemy, it's me. Many times we shoot ourselves in the foot. I had shot my friend with a BB gun in the foot one time when I was a kid. But sometimes you shoot yourself in the foot. I do. And then the devil. The devil's a roaring lion. The Bible says, Peter says, seeking whom he may devour, the devil hates you. Children of God, listen, Christian, the devil hates you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your grandchildren. He wants to get you mad and upset. He wants to deter you, get you off track, get you discouraged. He wants to destroy you. Three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God's given us the weapon to combat all three. Now listen, we are given joy, peace, and hope as Christians. The world offers the same thing. The world says, listen, you can have all the fun you want, all the fun you want. They make those alcohol and beer commercials look so enticing. Those beer commercials haven't changed since I was a kid. They're still the same. You know, the government took the smoking commercials off of TV, but they won't touch alcohol, when alcohol is way worse, destroys way many more lives, is way more destructive, and yet it's all about money. But anyway, you know, the alcohol commercials, they show fun, don't they? I know this is cliche and every preacher uses this illustration, but it's the best one. I mean, they show fun. They show people at the beach drinking beer, drinking alcohol, and having fun, but they don't show the little girl, 6 or 7 years old, whose daddy just came home drunk, who put her in a closet and locked the door, and then began to beat up her mother, so much so that he doesn't shoot the mother, but he fires shots in the house. He's a policeman. That was my mom, whose dad was a drunkard. Locked my mom in a closet on numerous occasions. You know, they don't show those things. They don't show the drunk driver coming down the highway. And there's a elderly gentleman driving his, you know, Chevy truck on the shoulder of the road going 35 miles an hour. And the drunk comes up behind him at 95 miles an hour, hits that truck and kills my great-grandfather. All of us have been affected by it, right? But the commercials don't show it. Why don't they show that? Why doesn't Budweiser show those commercials? Show the wrecked cars. Show the ruined lives. No. They offer fun. You know, our schools and our education system, college system, all the system, you know, we're pressured by the Joneses across the street for a bigger house, bigger car, you know, depending. A newer car. A nicer car, a car with air conditioning, you know, to have it bigger and better and go further. And we're pressed constantly that say that, you know, fun, to have fortune will bring contentment, fortune will bring peace if you just get ahead and get more and more and more and have more. And we're just, as Americans especially, we're geared that way. I mean, from the time we're small, it's about being, you know, having more than the last generation and doing better than my mom and dad, and financially I'm speaking, and having that fortune and thinking that that's going to bring contentment, that that's going to bring peace, that's going to bring joy. And it's just fleeting. It's just fleeting. Some of the biggest billionaires in the world, they're not happy and joyful. Oh, you say, well, you know, fame is what gives it. And man, how many examples do we have of fame doesn't bring joy, peace, and long-suffering? I think of Robin Williams and so many other actors who've committed suicide, and you can have all the fame you want, you can have all the riches you want, you can have all the fun you want, but the joy and peace that that brings is just for a moment, and then it's gone. It's done. And the world and the devil makes it look so enticing, and our flesh craves it. Man, my old nature, that old nature craves it. My old nature craves, it craves attention. It craves adoration. It craves more stuff. I know we make fun of it, but I'm telling you, I can eat a hole in the ground. I can out-eat most any human being in the entire universe. It's amazing. I don't ever hardly, the only time I ever get full is at Christmas and Thanksgiving. You laugh, but ask some of those who've hung out with me for very long. I'm just telling you, man, my flesh craves that stuff. I love chocolate. I love it. Love it. If I had a piece of chocolate sheet cake right now, I wouldn't want just the piece. If I had some homemade vanilla ice cream beside it, Bluebell, not that other junk that they sell at the other stores. Tastes like wax. Bluebell homemade ice cream, you put that beside some chocolate sheet cake, I mean, I could eat the whole sheet cake. I'm not kidding. I could eat it. Yeah, maybe I might share my knowledge. Miss Scruggs here. Hi, Miss Scruggs. The world can offer you fun. The world can offer you fortune. The world can offer you fame. Your flesh can crave it. The devil's out to get you. The world offers those things to you, but it's fleeting. It's just a moment. It goes away. Leaves you empty and dry. Leaves you without peace and without hope. But the hope and the peace and the joy that God gives is not fleeting. The contentment we have because we know Jesus Christ is our Savior is beyond our comprehension. Paul prayed for the Christians there that they would receive this peace and would receive this joy. How would they receive it? Well, it gives you the answer. It says, now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. What? In believing. In believing. How are we to have joy, peace? How are we to have these things? Well, the God of hope gives it to us. And it's by believing in the God of hope. It's by believing in Him. What does believe mean? It means to trust. Believe is along the same synonym as faith. Having faith in Jesus, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having faith in His life, His death, and His resurrection. Having faith, believing in Him. Believing in Him. And how do we do that? By the Word of God. So that book you hold in your hands is so special. This book, or maybe you got your cell phone out. However you're looking at the Word of God this morning, this book is powerful. It is the book that leads us to Jesus Christ. Of course, creation does as well. Creation tells us there is a God, and there's a God of creation, but the Bible gives us specifics. This is God's love letter to us. When you open up the Bible, you open up the mind of God. Quote Dr. Barber. It is the Word of God that leads us to Jesus. It's the Word of God that, in turn, gives us trust and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word. It is that the God of hope in Christ is revealed to us. And that Word of God is a sure word, the Bible says, and the object of our belief is the God of hope. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, produces joy and peace. And it's joy and peace, and I don't want to get this complicated, but joy and peace produce hope. Believing, trusting, having faith in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, produces joy and peace, which produces hope. It is He, that is the Lord, that worketh in us, giving us peace and joy, that produces hope. The God of hope is who we believe in, that produces and gives us, I'm sorry, that gives us joy and peace. I went in circles on you on purpose. Joy and peace give us hope. Hope, in turn, gives us joy and peace. Listen, the God of hope is the one in whom we put our trust in. He's the one whom we are to believe in, and therefore we'll be given hope. By the way, given hope, not earn hope, given to us. All right, so what is joy and peace? And we've covered these definitions before, and I won't go into detail, but joy is inner gladness. It's deep-seated pleasure, divinely produced inward contentness, even to the point of mirth. In other words, divinely produced inward contentedness. It means that joy is given to us by Jesus, by the Lord. It's not, you can't muster it up. It's given to us by God. It's given to us. It's produced in us by the Lord. You can't muster it up. You know, you can't work it out. No, it's given to you. It's amazing. It's amazing to me how I can go through such dire circumstances and still have joy in my life. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that I'm smiling, going around with what happy-go-lucky skipping, but inwardly, because I trust in the Lord that He has my best interest in mind, that He always has my best interest in mind, and that He is in control of every circumstance of my life. He is in control of my relationships. He's in control of my marriage. He's in control of my kids. He's in control of my grandkid. He's in control of my job. He's in control of my home and my bank account. He's in control of it all, and I trust Him with it. And when something goes wrong, I believe Him. I believe in Him. And because I trust Him, it produces joy in my life, even in bad circumstances. Because I know that He's working all things together for my good. Because He's promised to. I was thinking while I was gone a lot about the Heavenly Father and Son relationship. I'm talking about Heavenly Father and His children's relationship. Us Christians, us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, us who've been saved. We are children of God, and He is our Father. And a father, a dad, always has the best interest of his kids in mind. If he's any kind of dad at all, right? We give our children things because we love them. We have their best interest in mind. We take away things from our kids, like, something too hot for them or whatever, because we have their best interest in mind, even though they may not understand at the time why we took it away from them. We have their best interest in mind. Again, that relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, with our son, with our daughter, is the same relationship that God has with us. He always has our best interest in mind. And when we put our trust in Him, He produces in our life joy and peace, even in difficult times. Joy. Peace is rest. Peace is joy resting. In other words, we work with joy. We rest with peace. I'm thankful I have peace with God. I did that at the age of 6 years old. I accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm no longer at enmity with God. The Bible says we are born at enmity with God. We are born into this world. When our mother births us into this world, we are born at war with God. We are on the wrong side. We're at enmity with God. But Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, and He lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. God became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says, and he lived 33 and a half years, a perfect life. Never one time did he have a sinful thought. Never one time did he perform a sinful deed. He was sinless because he was God in the flesh. He lived that perfect life for 33 and a half years. At the end of that 33 and a half years, he went to the cross. Not for sins he had committed, but God the Father made him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And there Jesus Christ placed himself on the cross. There Jesus Christ allowed those Roman soldiers to put him there. There he laid his life down for us, and they nailed him to the cross. And there he shed his blood for us. And there he died for us. And they came and took him off the cross, and they put him in a tomb. And he laid there for 3 days. But on the third day, he arose from the dead, having paid for our sins in full. See, he died our death. He paid our penalty. He paid our debt, that debt of sin, the sin that we commit, the sin that has been had put a price on, that God says the wages of sin is death. Jesus paid that price for us. He died in our place. He was our substitute. He gave all for us that we might be children of God, that we might be reconciled. We were at enmity with God. We're born at enmity with God, but through Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God, brought back into fellowship with God. When we're born in this world, we are not in fellowship with God. We're in enmity with God. In fact, he says we're children of wrath. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we are reconciled. We're brought back into fellowship with God. Joy and peace are through believing. You come to know the God of hope through the Word of God, which reveals him by this, and you are led to believe in him. In other words, we're led to the God of hope through the Word of God, and it's the Word of God that reveals the Lord to us, the Jesus Christ to us, and it is the Holy Spirit that leads us to believe in him. And then through him, through believing, we are filled with joy and peace. It's the believing that enables us to experience true joy and true peace. Believing in Jesus Christ. The object of the hope is important. And I'm not going to do the chair thing, jump up in a chair, but there's things that I don't trust. Like when I was a little kid, I would trust my dad to catch me. My dad's sick, he's not here today, but if he was here, I would not have my dad come up here to the bottom platform and go jump in his arms anymore. I would squish him. I don't trust him to catch me anymore. But I do trust the Lord to catch me. He's way bigger than my dad. See, I put my trust in the Lord, and therefore he gives to me peace and joy. You see, it's not an experience or in a feeling, but it's in believing the book and the God of the book, the Bible. Can I tell you this morning that my salvation experience is not a feeling, it's a fact. I believe this book, I believe the God of this book, and it's a fact. I put my trust in it. And therefore, it produces in me joy and peace. And then lastly, hope. Hope. And this word's come up a lot lately in my studies and also in the sermons I've been preaching of late. But it means confident expectation of a positive outcome. It means, as I've told you before, I love the definition that Brother Weatherby gave years ago. Hope in the Bible is confident expectation. It means it's going to happen. And Brother Weatherby said, it means it's just a matter of time. Jesus Christ is going to return. That is our blessed hope. It's not hope as in I'm going to get ice cream after church. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But again, hope is confident expectation. Jesus Christ, we've been given that promise. Amen? In the Bible, it says, Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has promised to come again. I have confident expectation it's going to happen. It is just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. It might be today. No, there's no prophecies yet to be fulfilled. All the prophecies that need to be fulfilled for Jesus to return have been fulfilled, and he could return today. Come, Lord, quickly. Amen. Come today. Hope. Hope is confidence. Confident expectation. This is found in the Holy Ghost. This is given by the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost's power. Look there with me in the verse. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through what? The power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I don't know about that Holy Ghost. You're going to get Pentecostal on us. Listen, Holy Ghost is real. And you can call it, the Bible calls him the Holy Ghost. The Bible calls him the Holy Spirit. Listen, all I know is when I got saved, I got him. Something that big moves in, you know it happens. You know when it happens. And the Holy Ghost lives inside of me. He's changed my life, given me a new want to. And it's the Holy Ghost that gives me joy. And it's the Holy Ghost that gives me peace. And that is amazing. It's amazing. In fact, he gave me joy and peace that ye may abound in hope. Abound in hope. Not just hope. He didn't say that you might have hope, but he said that you might abound in hope. Again, Jesus said that his joy might abound in you. Abound? That word abound means to go farther than you can imagine. It means to overflow, right? To overflow. Hope abounding in the believer's life is a product of joy and peace, which is a product of belief. Don't complicate it. It just means that when I put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm putting all my trust in him, my hope, and that produces joy, and that produces peace in my life. It happens. It's given to me. I don't have to work for it. He just gives it to me. And when he gives me joy and peace, I become content, and I have hope. Hope beyond my expectations. Hope beyond my comprehension. Abounding hope. It means overflowing hope. Hope beyond my wildest dreams. I'm telling you, hope that is given by God is amazing. Hope, believing in the ultimate regardless of the immediate. Doesn't matter what happens to me right now. I know what the Bible says. All the promises in the book are mine. Every one of them. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I know there's some Old Testament scriptures and blah, 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 but I learned it when I was a kid. It's a great song. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Okay, I'll. Hope. That confident expectation. So what, preacher? So what? What does this matter? Paul said, I'm praying for you that you might have hope, that you might have joy, you might have peace. You might be filled with all joy and peace. That you might be filled with joy and peace by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. That you might abound in hope, abound running over. How? By the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Turn back with me, Romans 15 and verse 4, and I'm done. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Where do you put your faith or trust today? Where do you put your trust? What, whom you are believing in will determine whether you truly have joy and peace. Are you putting your hope, your trust in your bank account? Are you putting your trust and your hope in your education? Are you putting your trust and your hope in whatever it may be? Are you putting your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ? Let's just put our hope in him. Trust in him. Wait upon him. Wait upon him. Let's all stand. verse of invitation, invite you to come and pray. If the Lord spoke to your heart, invite you to come. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never trusted Him personally as your Lord and Savior. Would you come this morning? We'll show you from the Bible how you can have this joy, this peace, this hope. Maybe, Christian, this morning you have got your sights off of the Lord, the one thing. Your focus is other directions. Your focus is other people instead of putting your confidence in Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to refocus this morning in the one thing. Trust, believe in Him. Believing in Him produces joy and peace, which produces hope. Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You for the hope that You give us. Lord, that eternal hope. But Lord, also the hope for the here and now. God, You did not just give us salvation to give us heaven, but Lord, You gave us salvation that we might enjoy the life that You've given us here. That we might go through this life with joy and with peace. And Lord, we understand and know that's found in simply putting our trust in You. May each Christian here put their faith, their trust in You. Lord, for someone here who does not know You as their Savior, Lord, maybe they come today and accept You today. We'll thank You and love You in Jesus' name. Amen.